I want to do my best to try to preach what the Lord brought our way tonight. And let's begin reading in verse number 16. This is a familiar text of Scripture. And I do want to preach a thought. And I was brought up to use this word very carefully. But yet it's in the Bible. Reasons the Lord called a man a fool. My mama would tell me and my sisters, you don't say that. You don't call each other that. And that was one of them, you get a whooping words. But the Lord uses a parable, and he shows this man where his heart is. You know, and I'm afraid that there's a lot of people, their hearts in the material. Their hearts not with God, and we have just a money-crazed world. I was, matter of fact, I was at the hospital a while ago visiting Brother Billy, and Brother Billy was watching golf, and I know zero about golf and don't want to learn. But anyway, no offense to anybody that plays. That's just me. I'm too old to learn that stuff. And he pointed out this young man that was playing and said, that guy, he said he's 22, 3, said he's a billionaire. I said, maybe I do want to learn something about it. But that's where, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a billionaire if you do right by it. But anyway, notice verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I'm going to stop right there. And of course, this parable, the Lord is pointing out heart conditions. It's not a problem in this world, a man having riches, as long as riches doesn't have the man. And so, I do believe this, church, and I do know I can prove it biblically, and you may not understand this, but not everybody's rich because they're just rich. I believe God ordains rich, God ordains middle, and not everybody that's poor is lazy. That's right. God has set things up, and I believe a man works hard. I believe if he's a good steward over what God has given him, God will provide his every need. That's right. God will provide his every need. But that's not the message. Now, the Lord called this man, in my training, a very strong word. He said, thou fool. He talked about the foolishness of his life. And how foolish it is to only think of things that are temporal. Everything this man was accumulating, and he was happy, and, well, I've got. The Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Many have no thought, have no care of their own soul. But the Lord, he didn't call this man a fool because he was a farmer or he was rich. Apparently he's a hard worker, and he took care of everything he had. He knew how to multiply. He knew how to do what he was doing. And it does not say he done it illegally. It does not say that he beat anybody out of anything. But yet, the Lord said, thou fool. So I want to look at some reasons. And as I preach this simple message tonight, you may see people. You may, God may show you something. Now, I want to just jump right in. I have about 8 or 9 things I want to share with you quickly, and I'll do it in 30 minutes, Lord willing. Now, number one, the Lord called him that because he was self-centered. If you'll notice, and we know every word is in the Bible, I don't care what word it is, because God put it there. His only thought was on himself. Verse number 17, and he thought within himself, saying. Folks, you got to mention, the personal pronoun I is in that parable 6 times. And the personal pronoun my is in there 5 times. He did not care about anyone but himself. He didn't care. I don't know if he had a family or not. No, it's a parable. But he said within himself, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. And the only one that mattered in his life was himself. He didn't care about the well-being of anybody else. He didn't care about sharing with the poor. Bible said if we see a man that has a genuine need and we shut up our bowels of compassion, how can we say the love of Christ is even in us? That's around 1 John. So this man was very, very self-centered. He didn't care about his family, didn't care. All he was concerned about was what he had, what he was accumulating. Hey, look at me. It was a self-centered life. And folks, that's a foolish life. Now, I understand sometimes even the Lord told the disciples, let's come apart for a while. I had an older preacher tell me one time, he said, you better come apart sometime before you come apart. Amen. I don't do that like I should, but that's not about me. But I'm not talking about setting time aside to vacation and rest. That's not self-centered. That's taking care of yourself. Understand, I'm not talking about that. Sometimes you have to come apart before you come apart. But yet, the majority of your life isn't about you. It's about doing a job. It's about taking care of family. It's about having means to be a blessing. Amen. That's right. Church, again, I want to say something. Y'all are a selfless bunch. Not a selfish bunch, but a selfless. You understand the difference of that? I appreciate the giving spirit of our church. Amen. I thank God for how you freely give. And the Lord has blessed us because of that. Folks come in need and or whatever we might be doing, and how you give so even our young people can have something to do as part of ministry here. Hey, we've got to show them that we're gonna take pride in them as well. We want to let them know we love them. And I appreciate how people give toward that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. That's right. That's right. The world spends time with them. The world spends money on them. Amen. I believe, part of our ministry to our young people is we give unto them. It provides, it provokes fellowship, Christian friends, ministry opportunities. I think it's a blessing. Amen. And we see here this man, he didn't think about anybody else. He didn't think, he was a self-centered individual. Maybe you're here tonight, and you fight that. You're selfish. Folks, I think maybe to an extent, at some time in our life, we've all fought it. We've all had it across our mind. But there's generally no joy of the Lord when we're selfish. Brother David, Preacher David, he was in Kentucky. I don't know if it was the last trip or the trip before that, preacher, but she ran up on the lady that she asked was looking for a stove. She had a stove, and I think maybe only the oven worked. There wasn't any eyes work on it. One burner worked on the whole stove. And she had nothing. But her desire was not to get that stove selfishly, But to get a stove so she could cook a holiday meal for her family. And Brother David said, he said, I can't get you one by Thanksgiving. He said, but Lord willing, we'll try to find you one by Christmas. And it's amazing. Brother David would tell this better, but I'm a preacher now, so I'm using it, preacher. And the Lord sent him over here to Carruth Furniture. Johnny Carruth. Johnny Goodfellow. And he went in. He was with a customer. David just looked around and he said, I need to see you. He goes, what do you need? And he told him the story. And he said, the Lord done laid it on my heart to bless somebody and gave him a stove. Amen. Amen. It may be on the trailer now. I don't know. It's on the trailer now. Amen. This little woman is going to get to cook. Hey, that's selflessness. Amen. You know, I don't know. Johnny could have made $300-$500 on that stove. But God done worked in his heart. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes. And so I think that's more joyful. And that's more vindicated in my heart than to be wrapped up in selfishness. Amen. Selfishness. Amen. Folks, in this life, you young people listen to me. In this life, you're going to meet two kinds of people. Givers and takers. Now, again, I'm not talking about those that cannot do for themselves. Now, get that. Don't misunderstand me. There's folks out there that cannot do for themselves. Those folks in Kentucky, they're part of, they cannot do for themselves. But some people can do for themselves, they do if you do it for them. And they'll use you. I know of a young man where people, they took advantage of his good heart, his generosity. And they, every day, they'd borrow money. Get money from him, borrow money. He didn't have anything himself, but he would never refuse them. And he talked to me about it one day. I said, just take enough in your pocket. Folks, it's 90 degrees up here. Hint, hint. I said, just put enough in your pocket to do what you need to do with, and when they ask, you can say, I don't have it. Now, that's not being selfish. That's not being, you're not going to take advantage. You work the same place I do. You make more money than I do. You're just selfish. And you go, there are going to be folks that will be there for you. They're going to be givers. They're going to encourage you. They're going to help you. They'll be there with you to do something. You know what I say to that? Hey, when they need it, you be there for them. Amen. So we see this man was self-centered. All the eyes and the minds, and it was from the get-go, it was all about himself. He thought within himself, what shall I do? I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down. You see all that? Self-centered people talk about themselves. But then the second reason, I don't know if I get through with this or not, but the second reason he was called a fool by the Lord was not only was he self-centered, but he was not grateful to God. I'll tell you what you don't see in this parable. Not one time does he recognize God for his blessings. Not one time did he thank the Lord. Folks, what did Job say? The Lord does what? Giveth and he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this man here, he didn't have that humble spirit and thankful spirit, folks. Got to watch those that's never grateful. I deserve it. It's all about me. They're not grateful. They're not grateful. The Bible said in Matthew 5:45, he that maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance? He said, and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God, leadeth into repentance. They never recognized God's goodness. This guy never recognized. Folks, he had what he had because God allowed him to have it. Everything you had, God gave. That gets a lot of people upset, especially when you quote, the Lord giveth and the Lord could take away. They get upset about that. Why? Because it goes against the grain of their pride. He ain't going to take anything I got away. I've done it. They don't say that audibly, but it's in their heart and their mind. I promise you that. They will never say, you know what, I better be humble. I better thank God and keep my spirit right, because you know what? The same God that gave it to me could take it away. This man never said that. God called him a fool for that. He wasn't grateful to the Lord for it. He wasn't grateful. Folks, you know what? Everybody here, and you may say, preacher, not me, but folks, let's just be honest about it. If somebody brought a suitcase full of $100 bills in here and said, Lord, lay some of my heart to give you, you wouldn't deny it. Now, if you don't want it, say, but boy, I bet it'd be a blessing to the pastor, though. I'll give tithes and offerings on it, I promise you that. I don't rob God. But folks, I can't think of a need I have that he's not met. I can't think of a need that I have that he's not met. And probably 95% of my wants he's met. Amen. You say, well, he ain't met all your wants? No, because he knows me. I'd probably become foolish. This man was called a fool because he was self-centered. He was not grateful to God. Then notice thirdly, he made preparations to take care of his goods and none to take care of his soul. He said, verse 18, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for me, laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Not one time. He prepared his barns. He said, look, all this I've got. Put it in our terminology. I've got barns. I've got warehouses. I've got a surplus. I'm going to the Bahamas and kick back. I'm going to start traveling. Nothing wrong with Bahamas or traveling, by the way. He said, and he prepared and he labored. Don't forget, he labored. He, what he had, he earned. But yet, all the accumulation that he had, he never did prepare for his soul. Never did prepare for his soul. Notice fourthly, he prepared for old age, but not to die. But you understand, people love their body more than they love their soul. Parents work for physical welfare of their children, but not the spiritual welfare of their children. Now, I understand the Bible teaches us to leave our children an inheritance. Inheritance. Mine's going to get one, but it ain't going to be big. By the time you get, you'll be out. I'm joking. But parents, they work so hard. I'm putting this up for my children, and I'm not saying that's wrong with itself. And they prepare for physical things, but never try to prepare them for the spiritual. Never explain to them, these barns are full because the Lord did it. Let me tell you what the Lord did for us. The Lord gave us the health and the strength and the knowledge to earn and do and have. But this isn't the greatest thing the Lord ever gave us. The greatest thing He ever gave us was Christ. Amen. And son, daughter, these fool barns ain't getting us to heaven. Only Christ. Let me tell you, hey, Jesus, hey, we're all sitting. Give them the gospel. Get them under the gospel. Make the things of God first place. Amen. He prepared for old age, but He didn't prepare to die. Listen to this. He laid up treasures in the wrong place. Verse 21. So he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. That's strong, isn't it? He that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. What did Christ say? Lay up treasures in heaven. Where moth and rust and mold cannot corrupt. Thieves can't break in and steal it. Several years ago before, I wasn't married yet. I just surrendered to preach. And I think I just started Bible college. And give you folks some advice that you already know. If you live in North Paclet, don't hang your guns on the wall. I had them, man. The first shotgun my dad bought me was nothing fancy, but to this day, if I had it, I wouldn't take $10 million for it. It was old Harrison Richards 20-gauge single shot. The precious memories of Christmas Day, opening that shotgun, getting that box of shells, and walking in the woods with my daddy with that shotgun. And him telling me how to hold it, and not to point it at people, and it was walking, and that was that's a fond memory in my heart. Amen. The next year, I got a .22 Marlin rifle. Same thing. And then later, I'd bought a 12-gauge Mossberg pump shotgun. Had them all displayed. I come home from work one day, walked in the house, and Daddy said, "All your guns are gone." I said, "What?" He said, "The house was broken into." About the second or third time it'd been hit. And for years, we never locked the door. Nobody ever messed with anything. The first time we lock a door, it gets broke into. It messes, tears the door up. And he, later on, he and Mom had figured out what the guns was worth. And when the insurance paid off, they handed me that money. Boy, you take off to the gun store? No. I went to buying commentaries on the Bible. So the Lord let me know, you had them displayed like you were somebody, and I turned this thing around. But people will take it. But I'm glad I loved them, but I wasn't worshiping them. Laying up treasures in the wrong place. Then another thing this man done that God called him a fool, he presumed upon tomorrow. He said in verse 19, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many days, for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." You know what he said? "I'm going to be here a long time." Folks, the Bible said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." That's what he said. "Thou knowest not what a day will bring forth." Oh, man, and there's nothing wrong with planning for the future. I'm not saying nothing against that at all. But don't be so foolish to think, you know what? I'm going to live forever. I've accumulated all this stuff. And the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Folks, you understand? Let me get off this message a little bit. There'll come a day our souls will be required of us. That's coming. That's coming. There'll be a day that our souls are required of us. You better make your call and election sure. You better know that you're saved. Amen. You better know that you know. If you just trust in a repeated prayer, I'd make sure the Spirit of God was in that. Salvation brings a change. That's right. I'd make sure, hey, again, nothing wrong. I believe in that. I believe in saving your money. Young people, young adults, I believe in it. You don't need to squander it all. You're going to need it one of these days. You got children, I promise you're going to need it one of these days. Amen. And when you get grandbabies, you're going to need it one of these days. Amen. Because somehow or another, papas ain't got no in their vocabulary with them. That's right. Grammys, nanas, and mamas and all them don't either. Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with that. But you better remember, we're none of us are promised tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. Folks, I have talked to people. One day, literally, I've done this. And then the next day, get a call, they're gone. My own daddy's one of them. I talked to him on the phone. Had plans to go see him the next day. And before I got up out of the bed, God done took him home. Before I woken that morning, the phone rang. He was already in heaven. And how many of us have seen that? How many times you talk to somebody, and then a month or two later, you find out they died, and then you get to looking back, obituaries or whatnot. I talked to them that day. I talked to them the 2 days before that. We ate lunch. That's how fast it goes. That's how fast it goes. This man, he presumed, he just took it for granted that he'd be here tomorrow. And the Lord said, hey, buddy, tonight. What about that? Tonight. This night. The Lord's talking to him and said, by the way, before daylight, you're going to be gone. You're going to be out of here. Folks, I wouldn't take that chance if I was lost. Notice this also. He left God out of the whole program. He didn't have time for God. Didn't have time for church. Too busy. Don't say anything about him having a church home, a church family. They don't say anything about him serving the Lord. He left God out of his life. The Lord said, thou fool. Then notice this. He took no consideration about the goods he left behind. The Lord said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? What's the Lord showing him? Your labor has been in vain. Vanity upon vanities is what Solomon said. Vanities. It's just useless. He said, who's this stuff going to be? Who's it going to be? Who's getting it? You know what he said? People that hate your guts is going to get it. People that don't care for your life is going to get it. And they're going to squander it. All the years you've worked, all the years you've built it, all the years you've worshipped it, it'll be squandered in a matter of 30 days. Folks, I've seen that in families. Fuss and fight over what's left and have it squandered away. Sell it, lose it in just a moment in time. Notice lastly, when he talked about no consideration about goods left behind in Ecclesiastes, you don't have to turn there, chapter 5, verse number 15. A very familiar verse you hear sometimes at funerals. And he came forth of his mother's womb. Naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Let's read that again. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. How many of you heard the old preacher say this? They're not going to be any U-Hauls following the hearse. They're not. There's not going to be any U-Hauls behind the hearse. You're not carrying anything. You came with nothing, you're leaving with nothing. The only thing that matters is what you did with Jesus. I know of millionaires that has left millions of dollars to their cat. I know that's funny, but it happens to their dog. Amen. And the one that takes care of them gets to spend that. Right. That ain't even logical. I throw that bird in the kennel, I'd try to live it up. She ain't gonna know. I've seen them leave millions to an institution of higher learning just to get a plaque on the wall. They ain't nobody reading it. What I'm trying to say is this. It absolutely was good for nothing. This side of that side of eternity. It wasn't worth 2 cents. Wasn't worth anything. This man in the parable, same thing. Oh, I'm going to do this, and look what I've done. And man, and you know what? For a temporary moment in time, people go by and say, he's the man. Folks, I know men, and that's exactly where he got his thrill, was people looking at him and desiring to have what he had. Desire to be like him. Hey, folks, quit, don't desire to be like him. Desire to be like him. Amen. Christ went around doing good. He was a giver. Amen. That's right. Because folks, what we do in the name of Jesus, we'll not lose reward for it. I don't care what anybody said, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, that great amphitheater in the sky where we all will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stand there and our works will be made manifest. And some will receive reward because their work was genuine. It'll be like gold, silver, and precious stone. And some will lose it because it was all for self-glory or some other motive, and it'll be hay, wood, and stubble, and it'll burn up. And all that'll happen in front of everybody. Everybody's going to see that. All the saved will be there. Folks, you understand? Do you understand that the two major judgments is the white throne judgment, where the unsaved to be judged, and then the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, where the saved to be judged for what they've done since salvation. The Bible teaches us that at the white throne judgment, many are going to say, "Lord, Lord." It's going to be a loud. I mean, people are going to be screaming and begging and crying at the white throne judgment. The Bible proves it. But you don't find any text in the Word of God that talks about the judgment seat of Christ for the saved where anybody's even saying anything. Well, preacher, you're reaching for this. Maybe. But I believe there'll be a lot of embarrassed Christians that day. And most of us will have our head down in shame. In shame. In shame. Embarrassment. Because, folks, you got to understand there's 7 years tribulation, but church will be out of here. And while there's 3.5 years of false peace here, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ in the sky. 3.5 years. And then when there's judgment on earth, we'll be at that last 3.5 years, we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. See, God's going to iron it all out. And we're going to have a party. We're going to have a dinner. And if you're saved, you're going whether you want to or not. Amen. Amen. We're going to have a dinner. Guess what? The Lord's providing it. Amen. Amen. We're going to sit there. But folks, Nobody at the judgment seat of Christ is going to be boasting. Because, folks, we're going to see Him as He is. And even if we receive all these crowns that can be won, we're still not going to gloat. Amen. We're going to be, it's going to humble us. But those that their works burn up. See, folks, God's going to judge our works, not our salvation, works. So that lets me know God wants His people to serve. God's people that don't serve at all, you come to church and you sit and you go home. Come to church and sit. I'm not saying you don't pray and read your Bible, but where is your service? God's that judgment's for works. We're not working to be saved, working because you are saved, and what we've done for Christ. Are you going to have anything to be put in a fire? Anything. That's something to think about it. Lord help us. Let's all stand. Come on, Court. Thank you for your patience. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.